And if we can look to the moon to learn more about Earth, then can we look to our nearest galaxy, Andromeda, to learn more about the Milky Way? For Andy Newsom, director of the National Schools Observatory, it's a problem that deserves attention.
The problem we're trying to solve is what's actually happening in our next-door neighbour galaxy, because we don't really understand it well enough to be sure.
As our next-door neighbour galaxy, presumably, it's one that we can see quite well.
Yeah, it's close enough that you can actually try and do it properly, but it's still far enough away that picking out individual stars, particularly in the middle, is a bit of a challenge.
What do we think might be going on? Why is it so interesting?
It's mainly interesting because it should be just like the Milky Way. It's a similar sort of galaxy. It's a big spiral galaxy. So if it turns out that all of the details are similar to the Milky Way, the chances are all galaxies are like that. But if it turns out that some of the details are different from the Milky Way, it probably means that all galaxies are different.
Right, and that perhaps we are unique?
We are unique, or at least there's more to going on than we thought there was. Basically, we always assume that all galaxies are the same, because we can only see one properly, the Milky Way. But if we can see one other one properly, we'll actually know whether all galaxies are the same.
We're in a similar situation with solar systems, of course. We've always had one example, and we've thought that was fairly normal, but now the more and more planets we discover around other stars, the more we're thinking, well, perhaps it's not as simple as we thought.
Yeah, exactly the same sort of problem. Yeah. When you've only got one example of something, it's pretty easy to assume it's all like that. We have the same problem in cosmology with only one universe, but there's less you can do about that one.
So what are we doing to find out what's going on in Andromeda?
Well, there's two ways you can do it. You can look at the outskirts, and there you can pick out individual bright stars and study them in detail. But if you want to look at the core, which is where the older stars tend to be, then it's just too crowded. You'll have tens of thousands of stars in each pixel on the camera. So studying the individual stars is almost impossible unless something makes them stand out. And you want to be careful that the thing that's making them stand out is not because they're weird, because then you don't learn much. You want normal stars. So we're trying to make the ones stand out just because they happen to coincidentally line up with another star whose gravity magnifies it. So you're sort of using gravity and other stars to randomly pick stars and say, okay, that's normal, let's see what's going on.
So we're using this gravitational lensing effect to make the stars appear to be a bit closer than they are, and that means that we can then learn a bit more?
It's more a case of the lensing will change as the stars move relative to each other. So what you basically get is a slight change in brightness of one of your pixels, and that all of that change in brightness will be due to one star. So you can work out what that star is, and you do a bit of statistics. How many lensing events do you get? What kind of colour of stars do they pick out? Do you see any evidence of binary stars and so on? And that allows us to work out whether the situation is similar in the core of Andromeda as it is in the core of the Milky Way.
You say you'll see a change in one pixel. Is it really a case of looking for individual pixel changes, or can we see well enough to be able to distinguish separate stars?
To be honest, it would be lovely if I could just do it in one pixel. Actually, because of the way the atmosphere works, the light tends to get spread out over several, so it makes it a lot nastier. And depending on the weather, the number of pixels that get spread out over changes. So actually the biggest challenge is dealing with the effects that the atmosphere and things throws at you from night to night to work out that you are only seeing one star. You're not just coincidentally seeing two stars, which happen to vary normally because they're variable stars, and mess up your data. That's the biggest challenge.
What sort of things are you seeing so far? Does it look like we are special and unique, or does it look like galaxies are just galaxies?
I would love to give you an answer, but we're about 4 years into a 10-year project, so the only answer I can give you at the moment is, well, it doesn't look really weird.
So what's going to be the next stage? Do you need to collect more data, or is it now just a case of churning through the huge amounts of data that I know astronomers tend to collect?
Yeah, we've got about 4 years' worth of data using four or five telescopes around the world, pretty much working 24 hours a day, so we've got a very large amount of data to draw through. So the next year or two, we're just going to be trying to make sense of that. Once we've got that, then we want to go back and continue the observations, giving us a longer baseline to try and tie down some of the more subtle details. But that should give us a pretty good idea of whether we're going in the right direction, at least.
Andy Newsom, director of the National Schools Observatory.